So welcome to the Leadersmith podcast. It is Twitter Tuesday. And again, I am going out to LinkedIn to see what I can find because I found a lot of good stuff on LinkedIn last time. And here I found it some more this time. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so it's Twitter Tuesday, and I'm going to go through a number of really good finds that I found when I was searching LinkedIn. LinkedIn seems to be a good fishing ground for good leadership stuff, and that stands to reason. I mean, LinkedIn is Facebook for professionals, and so here the first one is from a guy named Brian Covey. Brian Covey is a VP of regional production and a podcast host, and he said this is inspired from the Four Agreements. His quote, the meme here says, "There is a huge amount of freedom that comes to you when you take nothing personally." Now, that's not directly about leadership, but any leader needs to pay attention to that because that's really, really important as a leader. You're going to get criticized. You're going to have people that are not agreeing with whatever it is that you're doing. And so you have to have a thick skin. Take nothing personally. Do whatever's right and then just drive on. Okay, the next one is from Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson is the director of strength and conditioning for football at the University of Arizona. And he said this, he put a meme, and before the meme, he said, things I have to tell myself daily. The reality is that most things that we really want do not come as fast as we would like them to. Being steadfast in our actions toward reaching that goal or desired result is key. And with that, he has a meme that says this, patience. Patience is not measured by your ability to wait, but is measured by your ability to maintain consistent behavior until you have achieved a desired result. Okay, now, that again is not directly about leadership. It's about success, it's about perseverance, it's about doing something. But as a leader, you need to keep just taking one step, you know, one foot in front of the other, step toward being consistent as a leader. And as you're consistent as a leader, turns out people start to trust you. So it's not about doing something toward, you know, like writing 3 pages a day to getting a book done, but it is about being consistent and just waiting for people to recognize that you are consistent. And as you are consistent, they begin to trust you. They begin to buy in to your leadership. So Brian Johnson, thank you for posting that. The next one is from Dr. Wayne Norton. Dr. Wayne Norton is a Baptist minister, author, blog writer, consultant, and storyteller. He said, "Mistakes are an inevitable part of our personal and professional growth. A wise leader will not castigate someone for a mistake, but will use that mistake as a leadership lesson to help them become stronger in their abilities. These mistakes can be our greatest lessons and can guard us in future experiences." Now, that's good in and of itself. And if it stopped there, it would be a wise admonition to just think about how we think about mistakes. But he went on and added a meme. The meme says, "Give people permission to make mistakes and then the obligation to learn from them." Now, this is far more leadership-ishy than the other two. But yeah, give people that permission to learn and then the permission to make the mistakes, which is one thing that we don't want to do. Because we have a management mindset, we want to get this thing done. We want to do it right. We want to be as efficient as possible. And there, it seems like it's inefficient to let people make mistakes, but it's long-term efficient, even if it's short-term inefficient. And what I mean by that is if you disallow them from making mistakes, then you restrict their growth. And leadership is all about growth. So give people permission to make mistakes. And then this is the other part, the obligation to learn from those mistakes. And so if you give one, you got to give the other, right? So it's okay to make the mistake, but it's not okay to keep doing it. So learn from your mistake, grow from the mistake, build in whatever systems you need to build in so that you don't go down that path again. But as you learn, you grow. Now, what's his name? Wealth and Poverty. George Gilder talks about, not in Wealth and Poverty, I was trying to think of the name of the author, but George Gilder talks about, like, knowledge actually is wealth. And this is what's going on. So you become wealthier as a leader. You become stronger, better, able to do more as you accumulate knowledge. So give people those permission to make the mistakes so they can build the knowledge so that they can grow, but also give them the obligation to learn. Thank you for posting that. Okay, the next one is from Leadership. The next one is from Les Davis. He's a veteran business owner, and he reposted Landon M. Landon M. is a master electrician, and Landon had this meme that said, "Leaders who do not listen will eventually be surrounded by people who have nothing to say." And it's a quote by Andy Stanley, and it is brilliant, because when you try to bring in yes men, and I understand the temptation to want yes men, because I think, you know, what I have to say is pretty good, right? And so I want people to agree and acknowledge and affirm that, and just do the thing, because it's so much, you know, I've planned this thing for I don't know how long, and now you come in and you blow it up. How terrible is that? You must be a bad person. No, don't do that. What you want to do, and look, I'm so surprised that even still, I work on something, I do it as well as I can, and then I bring it to others, and they always improve it. Always. But I have to be willing to have them improve it, to have them look at it and be subjected to their oversight, their criticism, their viewpoint, so that it can be improved. But if I'm not willing to do that, I'll eventually get people that will just say yes just to comply, and then it'll be a worse product. And that's not what I want. Okay. Thank you for posting that. The next one is from Leadership First. Leadership First, by the way, if you're not familiar with them, I talked about them last time. They post great memes. These leadership quotes, I love seeing that in my LinkedIn feed. Okay, and so on top, on Leadership First, they started quoting a little bit of Greenleaf. The servant leader is servant first. It begins with a natural feeling that one wants to serve, and it goes on a little bit. But then the quote in the center in the meme is, "If serving is below you, then leadership is beyond you." I got goosebumps when I read that. I think, you know, there's something so right about it. I got goosebumps right now just repeating it. If serving is below you, leadership is beyond you. I knew a guy, he was a department chair, who said, "Well, you know, I don't do this, you know, little stuff, this management stuff. I do the high level stuff." And what a jerk. Don't do that. Get in the trenches with your people. I don't mean that you do all the doing, but if it's below you to serve, then leadership in its truest form, in its most robust form, is going to be beyond your grasp. So thank you for posting that, Leadership First. Again, I subscribe personally to Leadership First. I think you should too. Okay, there's another meme here by Leadership First, and all they said on top was so true, and then here's the quote: "Great leaders believe that they work for their team. Average leaders believe that their team works for them." What a great quote. I mean, that's just awesome. Okay, if you have the mentality that these people are my servants or slaves, if you think in that in those ways and treat them, you will treat them the way that you think. And if you think that you work for them, then you will treat them that way as well, instead of just ordering them around because on the organizational chart you're higher than them. If you think about I have a deep responsibility to them because I'm here on the organizational chart, that means I have to take care of these people, they are my responsibility, you will treat them differently. You work with or for your people, or they work for you or with you. What I mean by that is, I've never said with the administrators that work for me on the organizational chart, "Yes, this person works for me." No. They work with me. They were my colleagues. And when I treat them, when I think about them as colleagues, regardless of what the organizational chart must say, I am going to deal with them differently. It's as much for me as it is for them. It is for them, but it's for me as well, because my mentality shifts. Let me repeat the quote again because it's so good. Great leaders. This is by a guy named Alexander Den Heijer, Heijer, is the original quote source. Great leaders believe that they work for their team. Average leaders believe that their team works for them. What a great great quote. Okay, so that was leadership first. The next one is a quote by Ken Blanchard. Christopher Carlson, who's a store manager for 15 years, said he posted this, and he said this is a little commentary on top. He said, often the best way for leaders to serve employees is to create low-risk space for them to experiment with their ideas. For example, a servant leader encourages people to use time management, accelerate development, and remove hassles for customers. Absolutely. Christopher, you're spot on. And then here's the meme that he posted that caught my attention. It was by Ken Blanchard, and he said, leadership is not something you do to people. It's something you do with people. And it's kind of like what I was just saying in the last meme. I mean, we're doing this together. This is us. It's not me over you or me doing it to you. This is us working on it together. And that's the way to win hearts and minds. So Christopher Carlson, thank you so much for posting that. Okay, the next one. This is by George Fisher. George is a coach, professor, and consultant. And he said, make this week a great week. And then he had a meme that said, speak in such a way that others love to listen to you. And listen in such a way that others love to speak to you. That's great advice, whether you're a leader or not. If you are, you know, I had a professor in graduate school that said, listening is so close to loving that most people can't tell the difference. And I'm at fault here, just like many other people. I don't listen as well as I should. But anybody who takes this to heart, that they speak in such a way that others love to listen to you, and that particularly the second part, that you listen in such a way that others love to speak to you, you'll get the information that you need in order to function and work through whatever it is that you need to work on. If you don't do those things, you're going to be cut off from what you need. Okay, the next one is from Building the Best. This is stories and best practices to help leaders elevate. And he talks about five harsh truths that every leader needs to know. That's how he, you know, what he says about the meme that follows. And in the meme, it's by a guy named Dave Cancel. I've never heard of Dave Cancel, but he said, my best advice for leaders: when things go wrong, take all the blame. When things go right, give away all the credit. And the worst bosses I've ever seen have done exactly the opposite. They were great blamers and great credit takers. No, do the opposite of that. And if there's blame, it falls on me. Go back and listen to five episodes back. It is my new favorite leadership story. It's not exactly about this, but it has the same spirit of it. So when things go wrong, take all the blame. When things go right, give away all the credit, and you will be amazed at how people respond and react to you. Okay, so next one is from Amber Master. Amber is the director at the Naraya Group. I hope that I'm pronouncing that right. And she has some commentary on the top. This is an Inc. article, Inc. magazine article, and I'll talk about it in just a moment. But she says, many companies are opting for a hybrid model for the work week of 2 to 3 days in the office and 2 to 3 days remote. The simple yet effective work policy recommends modifying your management strategy to fit the new model. And then she says, one, focus on outcomes rather than time spent in the office. And two, trust and empower your employees. Now, those two things come directly from this Inc. Article that said, this company's new two-sentence remote policy is the best I've ever heard. It's from Inc.com. You can just Google that if you want to. But the bottom line was this: focus on outcomes rather than time spent in the office. It's absurd to try to measure time spent in your seat at work. Why would you do that? Focus only on outcomes. There's no reason that you need to spend any time thinking about anything except for outcomes. That's the answer. And then two, trust and empower your employees. And if you distrust them, distrust will be turned back to you. I think, honestly, that this remote situation is great in stretching managers into leaders who have to learn how to trust. Because your tendency, particularly if you're an insecure manager, is to just look over your people's shoulder, and you can't do that at a distance. So that's great. Okay, so I have two more here. The next one is by a guy named Randy Garn. He's a New York Times bestselling author and entrepreneur. And he said this, he has a meme that I'm going to talk about in a second, but he introduces it by saying, principles versus rules. Why is it more effective and powerful to teach principles than rules? And the quote is this. I don't know if it's his quote. It doesn't have an attribution, so I'm assuming it's his. And the meme says, principles create an environment that maximizes agency. That's brilliant. Yes, that's right. So to unpack what maximizes agency, we allow as much latitude for the employee to make up his mind to make decisions as possible. It's kind of like what we were talking about before, where we want you to grow. We want you to become more, make your decisions rather than rely on me to tell you what you do. Principles do that. Rules limit it. So you're not growing. You're not learning like Gilder talked about. Principles maximize agency. And I saw that and I thought, he is spot on. So I got to give it to you, Randy. I don't know anything about you, but I'm going to be looking up your book and trying to figure out what more I can learn from you because that was brilliant. Okay, last one. And this is from Kamini Sharma. Kamini Sharma is a senior general manager at Microlabs, and she's posted the 7 seismic shifts. This is by Vicky. Oh man, I'm going to slaughter the name. Hatigandi. Hatigandi. Please forgive me if I slaughter the name. But the 7 seismic shifts, and there's this brilliant meme, the 7 seismic shifts, where it talks about, like, essentially, this is what you have to do from going from an employee to a leader. And so the first one is, you move from a specialist to a generalist, right? Like you got promoted because you were really good at this specialized thing, but now you're in charge of the whole department. And now you have to not just focus on that one, but you have to have generalized knowledge about what's going on with it within the organization. So specialist to generalist. The second one is analyst to integrator. There's one thing to focus on something. It's another thing to try to integrate different pieces, these moving parts that have to all work together. The third one, this is just great. I'm going to be using this one in class. The third one, tactician to strategist. So you have to move up a level from making this happen for this little piece to now thinking about the big picture and how everything's going to work together and where we're going to, the big moves that are necessary. So the fourth one is bricklayer to architect. I like the metaphor. Bricklayer is, you know, you're just doing your job. Architect is designing the building, making sure that everything fits and works in place. The next one is warrior to diplomat. That's a pretty big shift, right? You're out there going, making it happen, as opposed to, no, now you got to be the senior statesman who has to make sure that things are working the right way. The next one is problem solver to agenda setter. Now, problem solver is where a lot of managers get stuck. They were used to doing that before, maybe, like, you know, solving problems in an analysis kind of sense. And now they want to continue to be just the chief problem solver within the organization. But then people aren't growing because they're coming to you with the problems. No, you've got to be the agenda setter. Here's how we're going to go. Here's how we're going to grow. This is where we need to go. How, and not just that you're telling them that either. Guys, where do we need to go? Where do we need to grow? You got to start shaping that direction. And then the last one is this, support cast member to lead role. So being, you know, secondary to being in charge is a different thing for most people. So again, I'm going to read them again. Specialist to generalist, analyst to integrator, tactician to strategist, bricklayer to architect, warrior to diplomat, problem solver to agenda setter, and support cast member to lead role. These are the 7 seismic shifts for leaders. And I think that meme is brilliant. I will be showing that in class, no doubt. Hey, thanks for your time. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Leadersmith. I hope that these memes gave you as much food for thought as they did for me. I really enjoy doing this because, I mean, like I said, I get goosebumps when I see some of these things that just pop that help me explain to my students how to be the kind of leader that you would want to follow. And I hope that that's true for you, that you will become that kind of leader. Thanks for listening.